In the last few years, the reality is that most people couldn't spell infrastructure. And now there are more who are talking about it and who recognize that we really don't have a choice. It's not if anymore. The deniers seem to have dissipated. The issue is now, what are the methodologies?
This push for infrastructure is playing out in two countervailing trends. Trend number one is not good for infrastructure, and that's because there's so much emphasis on cutting spending and reducing the deficit. That hurts us, unless you buy into, as I do, the president's theory that we have to keep investing as we're reducing the deficit. And he's dead right, but that's not something that's a widely held view at this point. But the second trend is something that really helps the push for infrastructure, and that is that with all the talk about the deficit, only 17-18% of Americans list that as their number one concern. 70% list jobs as their number one concern, more than 3.5 to 1. And there's no better job producer of well-paying jobs that can't be outsourced than infrastructure investment.
We are neither bankrupt as a nation,
right,
nor without resources. And if we talk, if we listen too much to these things, you'd think that we're really in some desperate trouble and can't afford to do any of these projects. That's not the case, is it?
No, of course not. I mean, let's assume for the moment, let's go to nirvana. Nirvana is that the federal government develops for the first time a capital budget. And you'd have to change the Budget Act the way that OMB and CBO score, but let's assume they do. We develop a federal budget. And let's assume we realize we have a $3 trillion infrastructure gap, and that's what it is, particularly if you're going to do high-speed rail. $3 trillion. That would cost about $280 billion a year in debt service. Now, $280 billion, what people say, wow, how are you going to be able to afford that? Well, I have two words for you, Iraq and Afghanistan. Were we to be out of both wars, and I mean fully out, not just what they say we're spending, but what we're spending on private contractors, et cetera, repairing the Iraqi infrastructure, the Afghani infrastructure, that's easily $280 billion a year. And spend that over the next 10 years, we could develop a first-class infrastructure for this country and do something that would have an incredibly positive effect on the economy. That type of spending would create millions of new jobs, maybe over 10 million new jobs, number one. Number two, those jobs are not just on the construction sites, but they're back at the factories. I remember, Steve, when we did stimulus, we tracked stimulus in Pennsylvania, and the first year of stimulus, 2009, was actually 10 months. In those 10 months, orders for steel, asphalt, and concrete in Pennsylvania were somewhere between 40 and 55% higher than they were the previous year in 12 months. So we weren't not just creating jobs on the bridge site or the road site, we were creating jobs back at steel factories and concrete factories and asphalt factories and aggregate factories and timber factories. And that's the key. And these are great, well-paying jobs that pay $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $75,000, $80,000, and they can't be outsourced. So there is an answer to this. It's just a question of whether we as a country have the will to go ahead and do this.
What infrastructure investment may mean, especially for those the most hard-pressed in our society, it may be the generational opportunity of job training, of a path to good jobs that are quality jobs,
right.
That what that means in generations of better-educated children and all. This may be, and it's not the reason to fix the bridge, it's one of the incredible benefits of fixing the bridge.
No question. You couldn't be more right about that. And it's also not quite as expensive as it seems. $280 billion a year. Okay, let's look at that. The analysts say that infrastructure spending, if you spend $1 billion on infrastructure, you create somewhere between 25 and 45,000 new jobs. Let's lowball it. Let's say we create 20,000 new jobs. Now, $280 billion times 20,000, that's almost 6 million new jobs from this alone. Now, those 6 million people who were working that weren't working before, let's say they average 55,000, 60,000, and you're taxing them at 28%. By the time we're finished with the taxes and the corporate taxes, we offset that $280 billion of spending with about $110 billion of additional federal taxes. So all of a sudden, we're not spending $280 billion a year. We're spending $170 billion a year. We don't count that way, but we should.
If maybe infrastructure isn't going to drive people to march on the mall, but maybe it's not in the first two or three or four or five, it's in the top 10, and yet we still don't talk about it very much. We need to have a vigorous diet. That's the American tradition of public policy.
And again, you couldn't be more right, Stephen. And we're not going to win this battle to get adequate infrastructure spending inside the Beltway. There are just too many political forces working against us. And we need the public to say to our elected officials, it's okay to spend money on infrastructure. We get it. It's an investment. It's an investment in our future, and it creates jobs. So we're authorizing you to do that. And how do we do that? Well, we've got to wake up the public, and we've got to have, I think, a very strong PR campaign around the country telling people what's at stake and telling them that there is a viable answer. Now, Terry O'Sullivan, who's the wonderful president of the International Labor Union, Laborers Union. Terry sponsored, just with their funds, billboards in four states. I think Pennsylvania was the fourth state. And they put up a billboard as you're about to cross a bridge that's been declared structurally deficient. And the billboard says, bridge you're about to cross is structurally deficient. Contact Congressman Smith, and gives Congressman Smith's number. Well, that's good. It's a little scary, but it catches the attention of people. What Terry told us at a conference that Building America's Future held, Terry told us he wanted to put up a second billboard on the other side of the bridge saying, glad you made it. If he had done that, it would have created enough buzz, just enough buzz around the country. It would have been like Swift Boat. You know how much they spent on actual buying time for the Swift Boat ad to be shown? Less than $1 million. And yet every media outlet in the country talked about it. Well, if you had a Glad You Made It campaign, every media outlet in this country would be talking about that campaign. So we need to create a buzz. We need to speak about this at Rotary luncheons, at Elks Club dinners, at synagogue men's club Sundays, all over, back in our hometowns in America. We have got to find a way to do this. Tomorrow I'm flying through to Oklahoma City to speak to the Oklahoma Trust Dinner, and that's their transportation group. And the reason I'm doing that is one, because I do BAF speaking around the country, but two, because Jim Inhofe, a conservative senator, very conservative, from Oklahoma, still is one of the good proponents for infrastructure. In fact, Senator Inhofe has said at a hearing that I was at, he said to me on the record that he thought infrastructure was the second most important thing the government could spend money on behind defense. And he has, he and I have authored an op-ed piece for Politico. He is a strong advocate. In fact, Barbara Boxer, one of the most liberal members of the Senate, Jim Inhofe, one of the most conservative, together they sponsored an amendment to the original stimulus bill to triple the amount of infrastructure spending. Unfortunately, that would have been a good idea. Unfortunately, the administration beat it back.